Hello all sentient beings and welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we talk about all news, comics, and media related to the... On this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode, we review Transformers, issue 28. We can expect a Transformers augmented reality game soon, as well as a Transformers RPG. Today is Friday, April 2nd, 2021, and this is episode 227 of Transmissions Alt Mode.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that just wants to punch John Walker in the face. We don't care that he's played by Kurt Russell's son. I'm your host Charles, a.k.a. Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Jeremy, a.k.a. Yakko.
Hey, how's it going?
Fabulous fan artist Apollo.
Hi, everyone.
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
Hey, let's talk Transformers.
All right. As always, we start off the show by thanking our Donatrions, those lovely people who give us money on Patreon and PayPal. Without you, this show would not be possible. So thank you for continuing to support us. And this week, as one of our Donatrion perks, we've got an early bonus uncut version of our Transformers live play RPG podcast, Empire of Rust, episode 47. Operation Tea Time. So this is exclusive to our Donatrons. This is an extended episode. It's got uncut audio, and it's coming up a week before the regular episode drops. So this will all be out Monday, April 5th. So if you are a Donatron, look for on our Patreon page for this episode to drop on Monday and enjoy. But don't spoil it for all the regular Empire of Rust listeners. All right. And Jeremy, America's Next Top Podcaster, are you that podcaster yet?
I am not. And I think this week's show did come out, but I'm going to hold my thoughts until Monday or until next week's recording. But you know, this was the science episode. And I'm still talking about last week's. The interview podcast went great. My team won. And then they shuffled the teams. And I'm still bitter. Because... I liked my teammates that I was no longer with, but you know, I liked my new teammates too. It's just gelling with a whole new people is never easy.
You guys used a rapid fire type of question system for your interview, didn't you?
No, you're thinking of the first podcast we did. I think we had kind of a rapid fire a little bit.
Oh, okay.
This interview was more of just a conversation.
Yeah.
It was just like one host with the guest.
Yeah. I listened to them all kind of simultaneously.
Yeah.
All at the same time. Yeah, I just listened to them all. So it got confusing.
Yeah, the rapid fire in our first week one was definitely a suggestion I put in. I'm like, hey, we do this thing on my show.
Yeah. I heard that and I was like, I wonder if that's, you know, Jeremy kind of putting his nose in there. The other thing I was going to ask you about it is some of the kind of, I don't know, the breakdowns after the, like when they kind of talked to everybody during like the judging shows and stuff.
Yeah.
Are you present for that? Because some of the shows, it doesn't seem like you're there.
Oh no, we're there. We're all in a Zencaster recording session.
Oh boy. Zencaster.
They are. Yeah, I know. And it's still Zencaster. but it's they are telling us all this stuff, you know, as we're there right in front of us. So the judges are a little harsh at times.
Who's that guy?
The Simon like of
the Simon is Justin Robert Young of Politics podcast. And I like his podcast, and he has, you know, he has like, you know, the judging points a lot of times are right on. It's just the delivery, very much as Simon.
Yep. All right. Well, Jeremy, good luck. We hope you are continuing to do well, and we hope you survive another week. And I'm looking forward to listening to the science podcasts.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
And again, I forgot to introduce Apollo at the beginning, so we're going to welcome back Apollo.
We'll fix that.
Oh, thank you. It's good to be back here, as always.
That's just a compliment to Apollo that she's mixing in very, very well.
Yeah, I'm actually like a part of the team. I feel honored.
There you go.
Yeah, so we had her on for the main transmission show this week, and we're back for Alt Mode. So thanks for helping out this week.
Yeah, no, you're welcome. It's been a lot of fun being with you guys.
All right, so this week we don't have any comics news, so we're going to jump right into our comic review. All right, this week we are reviewing Transformers number 28, War World Hunt. Written by Brian Ruckley, art by Anna Malkova, colors by David Garcia Cruz, letters and design by Jake M. Wood, editor David Marriott, assistant editor Riley Farmer, supervising editor Tom Waltz. We've got three covers this week. So cover A is Starscream whispering in Megatron's ear, and that is art by Casey Collar with colors by John Paul Bove. Cover B is Cyclonus confronting Sixshot, and this is by Adam Bryce Thomas. And then the retailer incentive cover is Cyclonus perching and preparing for an ambush of Sixshot, and this is by Thomas Deere. So, Apollo, which of these three covers do you find the most appealing?
I think I know.
Well, I mean, it got the most traction on Twitter, too, is the Megastar cover by Casey Collar. I remember when the preview was released for that, like, big part of the fandom freaked out in a good way. So, I think he was very happy that he made so many fans happy. I really think it captures their relationship in this version of the comic. You know, it's Starscream being, you know, having all the intelligence, you know, and he's kind of feeding bits and pieces to Megatron, you know, and, mm-hmm. So I like it. Like, I think it's really good. I mean, I liked all the covers, but this one was my favorite.
Awesome. Yeah. Starscream as Grime a worm tongue.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
All right. Daryl, which cover will you pick?
Well, I agree that all the covers are really good this week. It was a bit of a hard decision, but I am going to agree with Apollo. Casey's lines are just so clean that I really like looking at his artwork so much. Everything's just, it pleases my eye to look at his artwork. Everything's just in like perfect perspective, and I'm just a sucker for the geometry of it all. It's nice to look at. As I may not have the same relationship with Starscream that Apollo has, my eye likes the shapes, and they all look really good to me. So Casey for me, please.
All right. And Jeremy, which cover are you picking?
I agree. They were all really good this week, but you give me a Casey John Paul cover and I'll take it any day of the week. It is just, it, like Daryl said, it's just very pleasing, and I just, you know, the top of their game. I love their work.
Great. And I guess I will make it unanimous and also pick Casey Collar's cover here. And I really like this image. I like how the implication, I mean, even though in the comic you don't get this direct image, but this image does capture the implication of what Starscream is doing throughout this comic. So I really appreciated that. And we'll get into that in the story in a couple of minutes. But this is a fun image, and Casey Collar's lines are excellent as usual. John Paul Bove's colors are awesome as well. They're a duo that consistently creates great cover pieces. So got to convince them to do a whole book. All right, so let's get into the story. Somewhere on a barren landscape, Cliffjumper is being pursued by a monster. The monster catches him and rips him apart, tearing him in half and crushing his spark. The monster's energon lust is satisfied. It drops Cliffjumper's lifeless body and says, "Heh, again." Elsewhere, we shift to a former gladiatorial arena, now repurposed as a Decepticon base of operations. Crasher is guarding the entrance, and she sees a stranger approach. The stranger is Cyclonus, who asks if Sixshot is inside. Crasher tells Cyclonus to move along. Only Decepticons are allowed inside. Cyclonus has no interest in joining a gang of thugs and is only concerned with the location of Sixshot. He does see that Crasher is very well armed, and he tells her he'll be needing those weapons. Crasher scoffs at him and says he can try to take them and see how it goes. Cyclonus agrees and proceeds to kick Crasher's tailpipe, relieve her of her weapons, and bust inside the Decepticon headquarters. The ghosts of his friends continue to haunt him and cheer him on as he continues his mission to find Sixshot. Meanwhile, Starscream continues his machinations as the Decepticon mole Refractor reports on Megatron's activities as he consolidates power. Megatron sent Ratbat to lead a team to capture Iacon's main Energon storage facility, since the Energon-producing Winged Moon was lost. Ratbat is met with resistance led by Grapple and Hotspot, but they are overwhelmed and the Decepticons claim another victory. At the Titan Network primary control hub, Mindwipe leads a Decepticon team to take control from Blaster's team. Blaster has been busy trying to frantically keep the Titans in orbit from crashing to the surface. Unfortunately, Blaster's team is no match for Mindwipe and his mind control powers, along with Sparkstalker, Bitstream, Catgut, and more Decepticon goons. And at the security operations holding cells, the Decepticon sends Skytread to lead a team to execute a prison break. Since Refractor joined this mission personally, he can give Starscream a first-hand account. The cells were not heavily guarded, and luckily for the Decepticons, another group was planning a breakout at the same time. Trick Diamond, Swindle's right-hand bot, fires a grappling hook through the back of the prison, which also has an overload device attached to it. She tells Swindle to attach it to the energy bars of his cell, and then she activates it. The device shorts out the bars and blows a hole in the back of the cell. Swindle is free, but he also takes stock of other prisoners to see if there might be any profit or advantage gained from freeing them. He settles on Rough Stuff, a thug in need of a job, and Bumblebee. Swindle is impressed that Bumblebee was able to take down Quake, so he must be a unique bot. Bumblebee doesn't trust Swindle, but agrees to join him if he can eventually get him close to Barricade, the other Decepticon directly responsible for his mentee Rubble's death. Swindle agrees, but admits it will take a little bit of time, so B will have to work for Swindle while he's waiting for his opportunity. So Swindle, Rough Stuff, and Bumblebee quickly exit from the prison cells and escape into the night. Back at Decepticon headquarters, Soundwave directs reporter Andromeda to deliver a very Decepticon-biased broadcast of Megatron addressing Cybertron. Megatron introduces Sixshot as the new leader of the Decepticon Guard. But Andromeda asks, wasn't Sixshot a member of the Rise terrorist group? And what happened to the Guard's former leader, Alita One? Megatron has an answer for everything. The evidence against Sixshot was fabricated by the Autobots, and Alita One is being held under suspicion of being a traitor to the Decepticon cause. Megatron ends by making it clear that the Decepticon Authority is the only authority on Cybertron that can and should be trusted. Soundwave tells Andromeda to submit her recording for approval before broadcast, and ushers her out. Andromeda complains that she didn't get to have more time, but she doesn't realize she's doing propaganda now, not news. Refractor finishes his report to Starscream, telling him Megatron and Stryker are planning something big. Starscream ends by asking Refractor if he did what he asked him to do. Refractor answers yes, and tells how he fed one of the SecOps guards intel on Megatron's plans. He told her specifically to deliver the message to the Autobot leadership to ask Perceptor about Titan Sparks. Starscream is content to play both sides against each other while he maximizes the advantage of his personal position. He can't let Megatron win so easily or he won't realize Starscream's value. Also, since Megatron and Soundwave don't trust Starscream, he'll have to continue to keep a low profile and rely on Refractor to continue to be his personal agent. Refractor agrees for now, but he wants to stay on Megatron's good side, since he does seem to be winning pretty easily. Starscream replies that Megatron doesn't even know the rules of the game he's playing, and he's sure there will be events even Megatron hasn't anticipated and planned for. One of those things is Cyclonus. He's finally found Sixshot inside Decepticon headquarters, and he's got a score to settle. Sixshot destroyed the Threefold Spark War Memorial, the one dedicated to Cyclonus' friends. Cyclonus is here to make him answer for that. Sixshot tries to reason with him, but Cyclonus won't be dissuaded. Sixshot transforms to his wolf mode and is ready for Cyclonus' attack. They trade blows and both get a little beat up. Sixshot's claws tear into Cyclonus' back, and Cyclonus' sword slices Sixshot's armor when he switches to tank mode. Sixshot tells Cyclonus this is the pointless since Cyclonus isn't heavily armed enough to take him down, and Sixshot doesn't want to kill Cyclonus. Finally, Sixshot convinces Cyclonus they can actually be on the same side. He tells him that the Autobots have released Pyra Magna to fight for them. This shakes Cyclonus to his core. Pyra Magna was responsible for the death of his life partner, Paragon. The ghost of Paragon visits him, and Cyclonus is stuck at a crossroads. Finally, he makes a decision. Cyclonus tells Sixshot to give him an opening, and he'll give the Decepticons Pyra Magna's head. Sixshot agrees. Finally, Swindle leads Bumblebee to his safe house, hidden under the Skitter racetrack. It's also equipped with immersion couches, where bots can go to escape this reality into a virtual one of their own choosing for as long as they want. Bumblebee recognizes one of the bots sealed in a chamber. It's Deathsaurus. Bumblebee asks if he's been here the whole time, since he's been missing for kilocycles. Swindle answers yes. He allocated his Energon to Swindle indefinitely so that he can relive the same scenario over and over. And in that scenario, Deathsaurus transforms to his dragon monster mode and chases a terrified Cliffjumper, catches him, and rips him apart. Over and over and over again. And that is it for Transformers number 28. This will be continued to the next issue. So overall, there are a lot of good little set pieces in this story, in the comic. I enjoyed the seeing Megatron's teams disperse and capture all these strategic points of interest. Although we don't see the actual battle taking place, we just see like the groups, the you know, the attackers and defenders square off, and then, you know, the letter says, and they won. And that's it. So I kind of feel like they're violating the show not tell principle in these comics here a little bit. So I'd prefer a little bit more focus on the show part. But maybe that's in, this is a mini series, so maybe the next few issues pick up. But yeah, I thought the art was really nice. So this is Anna Malkova again, and her artwork is usually excellent, and this was no exception here. And the colors by David Garcia Cruz make that that purple pop. The Cyclonus purple, Crasher purple, everyone's purple. So overall, it just felt a little uneven to me, the story, because it's a lot of disjoint little events, but not really like a overarching story. Although I guess the Deathsaurus bookends kind of just tell you what he's been up to. But I'm looking to, since issue 25, I've been trying to see if the pace would pick up a little bit more. And so far, it's still a little slow. So we'll see. But Daryl, what did you think of this issue?
First I want to give Anna Malkova a lot of props because the art is actually pretty good in this issue. A lot of detail in the backgrounds, which I'm beginning to be a little bit more cognizant of. And, it really does show the detail right off the start with the death of the Cliffjumper in this, in the VR chamber kind of thing is just gruesome and it's fantastic. So, props to Anna with the art on this book. It's really quite good. And like you said, David Garcia Cruz's colors really do highlight a lot of different moods throughout the book. So really well done on the art. I will agree with you that it is kind of slow. The only time I really kind of perked up and was really kind of interested in what was going on was the fight between Sixshot and Cyclonus. I was really interested in how that was going on. The characters and such that they keep mentioning, like you mentioning now that, Paragon, mentioning it, that it was Cyclonus's life partner. Mm-hmm. I had no idea that that was what it was. I didn't pick up on that through previous issues, unless it was something from, way back that, I just didn't remember. So it was one of those things that, there's a lot of characters mentioned in this new line of books that are very new characters or, new to the Transformers, mythos that mm-hmm. I haven't committed to memory yet. So, I can get lost in some of these details that it's just my kind of issue because I don't know the characters that they're using yet. But all in all, the story was okay. But like I said, the fighting was where I was really interested. And obviously the I'm assuming that the Death Saurus kind of, he's reliving this kind of scenario over and over again because of the way that things ended in the Galaxy's mini, right?
Yeah, that's the implication, yes.
Yeah, so.
Getting his revenge, basically, his virtual revenge.
Yeah.
All right, Apollo, what did you think of this issue?
You know, I'm mixed on it. I love the art, first of all. Like, shout out to Anna, and then David is the colorist for this.
Yes.
They did a fantastic job on the artwork. I mean, Anna's come like such a long way since the beginning, and I just love the details that she puts in the creating the scenes that this world takes place in. I do think there's a lot of moving parts going on right now in the story. And as you've said, you know, I think as Daryl said, this is that there's really no overarching storyline. And, you know, we're not really hearing from the Autobots side of things. This is very like, you know, either neutral or Decepticon heavy, you know? But I love seeing there's a lot of little Easter eggs in here, like on page 11, Glyph and Tap Out from the Valentine's Day special are in this issue. And I was like, oh, I'm like, I know who they are. And I really like seeing Swindle and Trick Diamond. You know, Trick Diamond's one of the characters from the Transformers Unite Warriors. She's a part of the Decepticon female combiner. So it's just whenever I see her, I'm just like, oh, it's super cool. You know, but like, The part that I liked the most, it was the fight scene between Sixshot and Cyclonus, you know, and I didn't pick up on either until this issue that Paragon is and him were lovers. Like, I had no idea until they mentioned it, and I don't know if it was mentioned in an earlier issue either, and I just didn't, you know, pick that up. But I love the fighting. Page 22 is my favorite page in this issue, you know, and then seeing, you know, Deathosaurus, like, you know, enjoying Cliffjumper getting murdered over and over again. It was really gruesome, you know, but he obviously isn't enjoying it if he's staying in that VR-ish scenario. So those are my thoughts about this issue.
All right, and we will finish up with Jeremy.
I have to agree with what everyone said. It did seem a little disjointed at times, and I will say that the Cliffjumper bit at the beginning completely confused me at first. I'm like, he just had this really good story, and now you're going to do him like this. And, you know, then it's just, you know, I guess we're led to assume it was a Cyclonus. And then I got to the end, and I was like, oh, well, this makes a lot more sense. I mean, I liked a lot of the story bits here. It just seemed... there was no good through line connecting everything. This is very much a positioning chess pieces on the board. Like, he's again getting all the characters into position for whatever they're going to do next. I mean, that being said, I have to agree with everyone's comments on the art. It was very good. There was like never a page I was unhappy with the artwork, and then some pages I just thought were exceptional. So I'm really excited to see this progression, and, you know, keep following Anna as she, you know, continues to get more comfortable and growing in her as an artist. One thing I thought was really interesting was the page where Cyclonus was talking with Paragon, and it was like a 9-panel grid, and we don't often see that in Transformer books. You know, it's something that was like famously in Watchmen and books like that. And it's just, it's a layout that whenever I see it, I know there's a meaning to it, and I'm still trying to kind of, you know, read into that. However, I think the Cyclonus story is my least favorite part of the book, because I wasn't expecting him to just immediately befriend Sixshot or kind of be on his side to go after Pyra Magna. I mean, there's a lot of backstory we don't know other than what was told here on this page, but it's just throughout the entire, however long this book has been going on, we have been seeing bits and pieces of Cyclonus just out for Sixshot. And we finally get like the very beginnings of a fight. And then he mentions Pyra Magna and is like, oh, okay, just tell me where she is. I'll go, you know, kill her for you. It didn't seem earned. I don't know, there needed to be more to it. But, I mean, outside of that, I did really enjoy the book, particularly the Death Source thing at the end, where you're seeing that he's just basically in VR and he just wants to kill Cliffjumper in as many different ways as he can think of. I'm interested to see where that's going, and I really hope they don't just kill off Cliffjumper for real, because it just, he's trying to, you know, compete with Optimus Prime for the most deaths in the frame. But, yeah, I mean, overall, I was fairly happy with it, but it was slow and disjointed, and I want to see a more coherent story.
All right. So there you have it. That is our review of Transformers number 28, and that'll be out. This comic was out this week, so should still be available at your local comic shop. And we will move on to Transformers Media News.
All right, in media news this week, we've got some tidbits to share from Renegade Studios and their work on Transformers and G.I. Joe RPG games. So there's a little bit going on, and they're saying stuff like, for the Transformers game, that you won't be playing as Optimus Prime. You'll get to pick your own characters and what kind of vehicle you're going to turn into. Your motivation, what's your rank, and... what your function is. You get to create your whole kind of world. Sounds an awful lot like Empire Rust and the characters that you get to create. Maybe we should have Mike talk to these people. I don't know whether Mike will have much ground to stand on that.
Yeah, we'll have him talk to them and they'll say, oh, thanks for bringing this to our attention. You're infringing on our IP and we're going to sue you.
Yeah, well, maybe he can
work for them.
Yeah, you know, no. Well, maybe he can shift Empire of Rust to use their platform.
Maybe, but yeah, that seems to be what's happening. There's no real solid base on it yet. They're still in the design, you know, creation stage of their games. So keep on the lookout if that's what you're looking for. But if that's what you're looking for. Might I suggest Empire of Rust? We just mentioned it. It's exactly what this is. So, go listen to that. It's fun. And I think if you really wanted to play as well, you could probably contact Mike and he could probably set you up. There's a new augmented reality Transformers game coming out. It's set to be released it's closing its beta in Japan on April the 14th. So it's getting close.
It starts April 14th. The beta
will hit closed looks like beta.
It runs
in Japan.
Yeah, a closed beta is a beta where you don't just anybody can't join it.
Oh, those are weird words in a particular order.
I know.
So it's just they're going to have this limited beta for like a week.
All right. Well, it's coming. If this is something you're interested in, get ready for another Transformers game. This one will be augmented reality. I assume it's going to be a mobile game.
I guess.
There you go.
Android.
It says it's Android and
Transformers Go.
Yeah.
Augmented. Yeah.
Gotta collect them all.
Although, if you can just kind of walk around your street and kind of point your phone down the street and you see Optimus Prime driving by, I think that'd be kind of cool. Although I don't see a game aspect to it. So, yeah. But no. We'll see. I mean, I'll download it just to see. But if it's dumb, it won't last very long. So, that's on its way. Icon Creative Studios are set to handle the animation for the Nickelodeon Transformers studio series. So that's kind of cool. They're moving ahead with that. The show will be 3D CGI, much like previous shows that they've done, and much like the stuff that Transformers has done recently. So, you know, it's not going to be any of that 2D animation that everyone is kind of used to and likes. But they're going to go ahead with that 3D animation. So, yeah. It's still set for a tentative release date of 2022. No more specific date on that. Yeah, kind of cool there.
It's exciting.
Yeah, I mean, any new media is good media for Transformers. So whether it's good, bad, doesn't matter. It brings attention to the brand, and that's all we need.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about another brand new Transformers movie in development. So, Jeremy, you kind of brought this up to my attention this week. Do you want to kind of talk on it?
Yeah. I mean, I was happy to see Transformer movie news that was not from We Got This Covered. This is actually from The Hollywood Reporter, so, you know, I actually pay attention to its legitimacy. This is a third Transformers movie that is in development, because we have the one that's rumored to be a Beast Wars based, and the one that's rumored to be kind of more in the vein of the Bay Bumblebee movie.
Yep.
You know, we have no actual details about these, but that's just what people are speculating. This one, it is said that it is separate from those two. It is going to be helmed by Marco Ramirez, who was the showrunner for the Netflix Marvel Defenders show. He's going to write the script, and Angel Manuel Soto, who directed Charm City Kings last year, is attached to direct. I think it's good. I mean, I want us to have, like you said, any media is good media. They, you know, who knows if this is even going to be a big screen. It could be something that goes to Paramount Plus, which, you know, Paramount does all the Transformer movies.
Sure.
They need content. So that might be where it goes, but it might be big screen. Who knows? And I'm looking forward to having lots of different voices and ideas. I think I'm one of the three people that like Defenders. So
I thought it was, you know, okay.
Okay. So you're one of the other three people. but you know, I'm looking forward to seeing, different voices that are not Michael Bay. So,
right. Yeah. No, I got into I commented on a Facebook post earlier today of, somebody said, posted the question, if the Bay movies didn't exist, how would it change your collection or your, you know, the way you see Transformers? And a lot of people chimed in and said, well, I wouldn't be a fan. I really, you know, and a lot of stuff like that. And,
it brought in a bunch of people.
And it brought in a whole ton of people. And I basically just laid down the comment, and we've talked about it a bunch on the show before over the years, but that, love them or hate them, the Michael Bay movies brought in so much money. So much money to the franchise that we are still seeing benefits and, you know, kind of ripple effect to them in the fandom. I stated in my post, I said that we likely would never have gotten the side characters in the Masterpiece line. Yes, the Masterpiece line had started already with some of the earlier characters, but would we have gotten a Blue Streak? You know, or, you know, some of these other side characters, you know, that we got, you know, probably not, you know. So
we definitely wouldn't have had, you know, most of the Generations line.
Oh, yeah. And the Generation line and beyond, you know, that kind of stuff, we probably wouldn't have had. The Titan class figures, all freaking, what is that, 7 of them? Yeah, we wouldn't have those. You know, the potential 8th that we've got coming, you know, this year. Yeah, those would be gone, right? The Bay movies allowed Hasbro and Transformers in general to take some risks and to put stuff out there that, you know, parents and grandparents and kids going to the toy store wouldn't buy because they're way out of price range or way too specific. It's not Optimus. It's not Bumblebee. It's not Starscream or Megatron, right? It's not the recognizable names that they remember from the movie, but it's the stuff that us fans will go there and say, damn, that's a deep cut. Like the reissue figures that we see, you know, now, right? That's all because of the movies, right? They wouldn't have the budget to put those things out if they didn't have the Bay movie money. So, yeah, there's a lot of benefits to this. And then them being able to put three movies out this, in the future like this, it's all stemming from that. So, yeah, it's beneficial. It's beneficial to the fandom, whether you liked the Bay movies or not. And I mean, I, for one, I'm on the side of not really liking the Bay movies, and I know there's a lot of people like me, but I can't deny the benefits of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did bring people into the fandom. And I mean, I rediscovered Transformers as an adult because of the Bayformer movies. I wasn't a huge fan of them, but, there were aspects that I thought were cool, but it made me curious to go back and look at, the newer Transformers properties that come out since. So, I'm excited about these new movies coming out, and hopefully they really research the fans and find out what we're looking for and, make movies that cater to, what we would like to see in a Transformers movie. But, we'll see what they do. They might go the mainstream route and make something that, everyone would enjoy seeing.
Yeah. Well, but if you look at, I'm a broken record on this, but there's so much material out there for them to mine. And you can do, like, with three projects in production, you can do a mainstream. You can do one that's kind of a toy tie-in with the Beast stuff, maybe. And then you can just do something completely out there. I mean, look at the Netflix series right now. For everything that it is, it is also something that we've never quite seen before. This particular take on, the war and everything. And I want one of these to be just something like the Marvel movies do, just mine the comics, take like two or three good ideas and make a compelling story with these characters. And that's something that I really thought was missing from the Bay movies. Just, they just scratched the surface on names and concepts, and then the story wasn't really compelling to me.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I've had long complaints about the live action movies, but yeah, they did. They did really invigorate and put Transformers in the popular zeitgeist for, for now it's been over 10 years since the first movie dropped. So I'm grateful for that part. But yeah, I mean, we needed a director who was going to treat the characters like the Transformers like characters, not props. So, but I mean, big action movies do draw in the crowd. So I don't know. What do I know? I'm not a movie producer. I haven't made billions of dollars in the box office.
Right on. Well, that's it for media news.
All right. And we'll move on to some transforming pop culture.
All right. And, this kind of came out of left field because it's not something I would have thought about. But you know what? I was listening to a podcast. It was the ID10T podcast with Chris Hardwick. And it was an interview with Robert Kirkman, who was talking about, Walking Dead. And he was talking about his new show on Amazon Prime with, Invincible, which is really freaking good. So go watch that if you haven't. Starting off the podcast, these guys talked for like 20 minutes about the 86 Transformers movie. And I know that I've mentioned it on here before. It's been a long time, but Robert Kirkman is a huge Transformers fan. So that's the coolest thing. And he did an AMA on Reddit on Friday, and his picture showing the AMA was just him holding up the sign as usual, but in the background of this picture was this Grimlock statue from the 86 movie, and it's one of those ones we've talked about. I can't remember who makes it. It's like one of those 3A statues, but I looked, it's a $2,200 statue.
Wow.
And
he is the market for
those. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't have a link off the top of my head for the AMA, but we'll find it. And but yeah, it's incredible. It really is to hear him just nerd out with Chris Hardwick about the 86 movie. And apparently he was right in the proper demographic. I guess he's, I don't know. I think he's born in 78. So he would have been 8 when the movie came out. So he was right in the wheelhouse. Yeah. So he's, you know, and yeah, he talked about going to see it in the theater and talking about the soundtrack and how it's the best soundtrack. And he said how Walking Dead and, is based off of the 86 movie, because everything he's like, I kill main characters in Walking Dead because they killed main characters in the 86 movie, right? He's like, my whole writing career is based off the 86 movie. I'm like, this is amazing. So, yeah, if you haven't heard them talk about the 86 movie for like the first 20 minutes of this podcast, it's fantastic. So, yeah, take a listen to that. It's he's also a really funny guy, so it really helps. But yeah, he is a humongous Transformers fan. And if I can find it here, I'm going to, cause I did ask a question during the AMA and I just have to find it. Give me 1 second to find it and I will do that.
Okay. I'll have to, you know, listen to it, but now it makes me want to rewatch The Walking Dead, you know, and go, huh, how is this, where, you know, how was he influenced by it?
Yeah, I've never actually seen it. I own the first season. I've still never seen it. Daryl, I put the image that you screenshot of the thing.
Let me see.
The first season's only 6 episodes, Jeremy.
Well, I thought it was 12.
No, it's only 6.
Oh, well, still. I'm not that into, especially after this last year. It's not the kind of media I want to consume.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. All right,
so I found the question I asked him. So I asked him, I know you're a big Transformers fan. Would you ever consider writing a Transformers comic? And he said, he replied, I was a part of a group going after the license around the time Pat Lee's company Dreamwave acquired it from Hasbro. I even wrote a script around that time. I don't believe it was any good, but that will probably be the closest I come to writing a Transformers comic since my focus now is on and will forever be on doing new things. Somebody else at some point asked something Transformers related, and he replied that he prefers to write original characters. He enjoys tons of things, Marvel, DC, Star Wars, Transformers, but he likes creating his own stuff now. And by mm-hmm. going and doing something else through a property is contradictive to what he wants to do with his time.
And that's not IP he can make money off of.
Right. Yeah. There you go. That might have more to do with it.
Yeah, he'd make a normal salary off of doing something with an existing IP versus making his own thing like he did with Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Here's the full AMA. So there you go. But yeah, so that was very cool. And yeah, if you can take it some time, and you don't have to listen to the full interview, but they get right into Transformers the movie really quickly in that with that podcast. And yeah,
and when, it's like the first 20 minutes or so. I mean, it's a good long discussion.
Oh yeah, and they're on it for a while. Yeah, so yeah, and it's just a fun discussion. It's like hearing us, you know, another huge fan talk about it. Although Chris Hardwick, I don't think he's a real big fan, because at some point they talk about getting Peter Cullen to come back, and it's not a Transformers, you know, movie without Peter Cullen as Optimus Prime. And then Chris Hardwick says something about, oh yeah, and you got to get the guy that voiced Starscream back too. I'm like, he's been dead for a while, dude.
He is talking to the Walking Dead guy.
Yeah. So anyway, but it's fun. It's a fun discussion. I highly recommend it.
All right. And we will finish up the show with convention news.
All right. I forgot to mention this last week, but this past weekend was WonderCon at home, and IDW had a panel called IDW in 2021 and Beyond. They didn't say it like that. But anyway, I watched the panel. It's still up on YouTube if you want to watch it. We'll have a link. But it was John Barber and, forgive me, I forgot the publisher's name. The publisher, Nachi Marsham. And they were going through basically the entire line of what IDW is publishing. They had Kevin Eastman come on to talk about the Last Ronin book. And when the Transformers stuff was right at the end, They didn't really talk about a lot, but John Barber was going through basically what they have going on right now with the main book, the Escape, and Beast Wars. That's pretty much, they didn't talk about anything new coming up. So, I mean, it was interesting watching some of the other stuff, particularly like Kevin Eastman and some of the Star Wars and Marvel stuff that they're doing, but they didn't really have any new Transformers.
Oh, that's a disappointment.
No.
Yeah. But we had that story, a week or two ago about Hasbro's has something coming up with April 9th.
Yes.
And there's something to do with IDW there. So maybe there's something they couldn't talk about now. So stay tuned. And April 9th. So we'll have a whole nother show. We'll have a whole nother show before that. So hopefully there'll be news there.
All right. And that will do it for this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode. As always, at the end of the show, we give a shout out to our Masterpiece Donatrions. So thank you again to John4x11good and Dinobot Maximize for continuing to support the show at our highest tier. And if you'd like to support the show by buying some merchandise, you can go to our TeePublic store. That's at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. We've got lots of cool shirt and mask designs there that you can get at a pretty good price. And if you buy anything from our TeePublic store or anything from TeePublic through our link, that helps out the show. So please do that. All right, Apollo, thanks again for joining us this week. And is there anything you'd like to plug before we end the show?
Yeah, so I have a lot of merchandise that I had made for TFCon last year, and since TFCon didn't happen, I want to sell some of it, and I decided that I was going to retire the merchandise I made last year because my art's improved a lot since last year. So I have a pinned tweet on my Twitter account right now. It's at RoboApollo on Twitter, and the last day to purchase stuff, I believe, let me actually double check, is April 30th at midnight. So it's a limited time. So if you wanted to get any of this merch from me, I'd really appreciate the sales. Thanks for your support.
All right. Thanks, Apollo. And that will do it for this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Later.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of Transmissions. But just because this episode is over doesn't mean the Transformers fun has to stop. Join us and other Transformers fans on our Discord chat server by visiting transmissionspodcast.com/discord. If you would like to learn more about how you could support the Transmissions Podcast, just visit transmissionspodcast.com/support. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.